We all harbor a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde within us. This universal duality forms the heart of Connie Zweig's profound exploration of our disowned selves. The concept has resonated with figures from Carl Jung to Jordan Peterson, Russell Brand to Oprah Winfrey. Why? Because whether you're seeking spiritual growth or simply wondering why certain people trigger intense reactions in you, understanding your shadow offers a powerful framework for self-discovery. In our increasingly polarized world, where we constantly project our disowned traits onto others, confronting our shadow has never been more urgent or potentially healing. This journey into our darker aspects isn't about self-criticism. It's about wholeness, integration, and ultimately freedom from unconscious patterns that limit our lives. Beneath your carefully constructed self-image lurks a counterpart Jung called the shadow, a darker twin containing everything you've disowned: aggression, shame, guilt, pain, yet paradoxically revealing your deepest humanity through imperfection. As children, we begin with a 360-degree personality, with energy radiating from all parts of our psyche. When parents disapprove of certain aspects, we tuck these parts away to maintain their love. Teachers and peers further contribute to this process. By 20, we're left with just a thin slice of our original energy. When two such diminished people form a relationship, even together they don't make one whole person, creating an unacknowledged loneliness. Different cultures fill the shadow with different contents. Christians often repress sexuality and spontaneity, while other societies might suppress individuality. Since the shadow operates unconsciously, we rarely know when we're under its influence. Yet Jung saw it not as immoral, but potentially containing values of high morality, energy awaiting reclamation. We spend our first 20 years deciding what to hide, then the rest of our lives trying to retrieve it. Our psychological heritage begins in the family, the emotional center where we learn to repress what is wrong while identifying with what is good. This process creates the shadow, a disowned self that becomes the mirror image of our conscious personality. Though repressed, these qualities remain active, erupting during emotional stress. Parents shape this repression through direct commands, "boys don't cry," invalidation, "you're not really feeling that way," and example. Children observe their parents and internalize these as life models. First, they hide forbidden behaviors, then construct an internal police officer to monitor thoughts, ultimately creating a false self that both camouflages repression and protects from further injury. Family dynamics become charged when parents hold contradictory feelings. Consider the mother who identifies as all protective while harboring opposite feelings. Her child experiences both acceptance and rejection, creating a deep wound that forces them to hide their individuality, which becomes incorporated into their shadow. Similarly, mothers may harbor unacknowledged envy toward their daughters' opportunities, opportunities they sacrifice to provide. Daughters sense this ambivalence and become trapped in contradiction, creating a complex knot binding their energies and ambitions. Have you ever been intensely irritated by someone, only to realize they embody traits you deny in yourself? This is shadowboxing, the dance where we encounter both our shadow and self in our closest relationships. With siblings, we see mirror reflections of identity and difference. The healing involves asking, "what would my sibling do?" to access undeveloped skills. In romantic relationships, we often fall for our opposites, attracted to qualities we lack: the shy woman with the outspoken man, the uncreative man with the artistic wife. If we don't develop it, we'll marry it. Consider Laura and Tom. Laura carried their intimacy needs while Tom carried autonomy needs. Rather than acknowledging both desires within themselves, they split the conflict. She pursued while he distanced, creating a dance where each expressed the other's disowned needs. What should have been internal conflicts became interpersonal battles. Couples often see in partners what they cannot perceive in themselves. What parts of yourself might you be meeting in the people who irritate you most? For two millennia, Western culture has relegated the human body to shadow. Its animal impulses, sexuality, and mortality were dismissed by traditions valuing only spirit, mind, and rationality. Science later reduced the body to a soulless chemical machine. This entrenched mind-body split illuminated logical thinking while obscuring intuition and physical experience. The results? Guilt about bodily functions, diminished spontaneity, and chronic psychosomatic illness. This disowned physicality also manifests as child abuse, sex addiction, and eating disorders. As John Conger writes, "The body is our school, our lesson, our protagonist, our beloved enemy, the jumping-off place into higher realms." Yet our bodies often express what we consciously deny. The shadow emerges when spontaneous energy is suppressed until the body becomes deadened, with rationalized existence prioritized over natural vitality. In health, energy and consciousness unite. A healthy person experiences creativity, connection with others, and positive direction. In illness, reality distorts. Troubles seem externally caused, evading personal responsibility. Notice how your body communicates truths your mind rejects. The tension headache during family gatherings or back pain during stressful work periods. These are shadow communications breaking through. America's work ethic creates personal shadows of burnout and collective ecological catastrophe. Workaholics sacrifice their lives for productivity, dreaming of security or simply unable to live differently. Possessed by the demonic self rather than creative enchantment, they cannot relinquish control. Organizations enable this through unrealistic workloads and cultures fostering imbalance. Families miss absent parents, workers deteriorate physically, and corporations face high executive turnover. The workplace suppresses unacceptable traits, aggression, competitiveness, outspoken opinions, into our private selves. Many feel they've sold their soul through psychological compromise. Success brings its own anxiety. Will it last? Do I deserve it? What if I lose it? Elation transforms to worry, joy to fatigue or existential crisis. During success, we become inflated with hubris, avoiding our shadow. Effective people integrate their limitations rather than fighting them. These quirks form the essence of expressive life. What parts of yourself have you sacrificed for success? The cure of the shadow requires both moral recognition and love, acknowledging what we've repressed while extending compassion to our broken parts. True healing begins by simply carrying these rejected aspects with genuine acceptance, not forcing them to comply with our ego's agenda. Eventually comes a breakthrough, joyful insight into one's folly while maintaining awareness that transformation is needed. We must both try hard and let go, both judge harshly and join gladly, merging Western moralism with Eastern acceptance. At midlife, the shadow often emerges as a number two personality when familiar patterns fail, creating a spiritual crisis. Integration requires a strong ego that can engage with the shadow without being overwhelmed. The core problem isn't the sin itself, but our refusal to acknowledge it. What remains unacknowledged will inevitably catch us from behind. The journey to wholeness isn't about perfection, it's about embracing all of who you are. When we acknowledge both darkness and light within us, we move toward inner wholeness and contribute to a more integrated world.